got that nerd rage. Nerd rage. I got that nerd rage. Nerd rage.
From comics and games to movies and TV, this is the Nerd Show on 1310 KFKA.
Nerd rage. Nerd rage.
Now here are the nerds.
Happy New Year, Nerdians. This is, I believe, our first show of 2024. Right, Micah?
Maybe.
We've been blocked by sports ball, but Scott, unfortunately, is feeling unwell today and unable to join us, but we have Emilio, who's in the hot seat.
Thanks for having me back.
Hey, it's good to have you back. Micah's behind the glass. We got our handles. I forget how to do this. It's been a while. It's been about a month. Anyway,
we are
also
AKA
known as...
Oh, sorry.
Darth Harmonic.
Darth Ambivalous.
Oh, Micah.
Oh, hang on.
He's working on it.
It's been a while.
It has been. It's got his... I'm just stalling.
Oh, hang on. Let me fix it.
I haven't done this show since, like, 2023.
No, the computer's just
new year, new problems.
Yeah.
Emilio.
Yeah, you've had this a few times and you filled in for Nick.
Is that your first time experiencing that?
That was, yeah.
Yeah, what'd you think?
Your face said it all, Emilio.
Yeah.
Oh, we're keeping that.
Does that represent me accurately?
Yeah.
Okay.
If you know Emilio, you know that's the complete opposite of Emilio's demeanor most days.
Well, I looked on Spotify and YouTube to find songs called Emilio, and there weren't a lot that actually said Emilio that would sound funny.
Isn't that song, Emilio, you're breaking my heart? I know it's not Emilio, but...
I did not know that song. I did not know that song existed.
Simon and Garfunkel just add the O to the end of it. Emilio, you're breaking my heart.
I was like, Emilio. Okay.
Well, gosh, yeah, it's been a while since we've covered anything nerdy, so there's a lot to talk about. We do have a shortened show, and we are missing Scott, but the three big things that I guess collectively we've been watching have been Echo, Rebel Moon, and Monarch, Legacy of Monsters. So,
and you've been watching Monarch. I don't have, is it Peacock? Is that what it's on?
That's Apple Plus. And
oh, okay. Same thing. I don't have either of them.
Scott and I, you know, we disagreed early on. I thought the show started out kind of slow and the time travel back and forth was a bit interesting. But I'll say the last couple episodes have been action-packed. I love Godzilla. I love the Godzilla. I love those monster movies. The finale of the season was pretty epic. And they did something cool where they hired the actors, both Kurt Russell and his son. I can't remember his son's name. But, you know, his son played the younger version of that character, and Kurt Russell was the older character. And it was a really neat thing to see of that time travel without having either a different actor of family lineage. And they have a lot of similar facial features, too. So it was pretty uniquely done.
So you said you're a fan of monster movies and Godzilla and King Kong and all that, like,
oh, yeah,
all the way going back to, like, the old school.
I remember
movies
growing up, like, my dad would record on VHS the Godzilla movies from the 1950s, you know, those stop motion, those claymation, mm-hmm, or the, you know, actor in a suit type of thing, the horrible overdubbing from English to Japanese where it did not make any sense timing wise with the mouth. I loved him.
You loved him.
I loved those growing up.
Okay. Yeah.
That was, yeah. So it's hard for me to dislike those movies just because of the nostalgia of Godzilla.
So my daughter and daughters are getting older. They're in high school. And we've started this with one and kind of both of them where we're going through movies that I think they should see, right, before you leave the house. And they're getting old enough where, you know, you can see some of the movies that are obviously rated R, et cetera. So that's on the list. Just like a James Bond film is on the list, Mission Impossible. Not all of them, right? But if I was going to show her one monster movie, either King Kong or Godzilla, is there one, like, definitive one? Because there's been so many iterations of these.
You know,
and I've seen some of them, but...
Yeah, I think... a lot of times I like the original stuff, and of course the quality of those films aren't great. I think if you were to introduce the monster to get him into the monster verse, I love Skull Island. I think that is so well done with John
Peter
Goodman
Jackson
and no,
that's not
Peter
the one
Jackson.
He directed?
No, he did the one with Jack Black. That was more 1920s where they bring King Kong
That's
to
right.
New York. And
okay.
That one wasn't bad either. You know, it's a good, I'd say, period piece of, you know, the era when King Kong was created. But Skull Island, that's Brie Larson, Tom Hiddleston. I think that's a good, Sam Jackson's in it. Action-packed film that introduces the monster verse and doesn't get too carried away. You've seen that one, right, Mike?
I have. I didn't see the Peter Jackson one, but I did see Skull Island. And I agree with you. Skull Island was great all the way around.
Yeah. In Universal Studios, there's a ride that's Skull Island. It's kind of a show ride. Yeah.
Are we talking about Universal Studios Hollywood? Okay.
Yeah.
I've only been to the Hollywood
good.
One.
That's one. I like the Gareth Edwards had Godzilla. They reintroduced, that line. Godzilla wasn't in it for very long. Like, if you're going to have a monster movie, it had the negatives of what Transformers had the negatives for me, which was it was too military-focused. Like, somehow, the U.S. military is going to take down Godzilla and Alpha, Muto, what do they call it? Monster of an unidentified terrestrial origin or something like that. Like, there's no way. And those kind of annoy me and seem more
there's
like...
There's only way. The only way you can do it is Cloverfield, right? Yep. Like, you have to nuke and destroy, the whole city.
Pretty much.
That's the end game. You don't just launch a few rockets at it and...
Right.
I mean, so.
Or have an F-22 hit some missiles and stuff. It's not a... To me, it was a military recruitment movie, you know? I go, this is kind of a joke. Godzilla... King of the Monsters, was the second one. And then all of a sudden you have dozens of these giant monsters emerging because Godzilla, wait, you're telling us humanity is that dense and we couldn't figure this out? And the last one, Kong versus Godzilla, was pretty dang good. I enjoyed that. But the human acting, to me, is what takes away from those films. Like, can we just let monsters do their thing and not have as much stupid dialogue or unnecessary interactions? And yes, I'm going to say it, bad jokes that normally I'll gobble up all day long. Micah, you know me, and all our listeners know how much I enjoy bad jokes.
Yeah, feel free to tell a couple of them.
Oh, they can't be forced, Micah. They can't be forced. They just have.
And yet you do.
Well, that's true.
That's the formula, though, right? In almost every film now, even real serious dramas, they've got they've got humor, they've got the funny character, they've got the flippant remarks. It just seems like it's all a part of the playbook.
You know, I'm watching the Star Wars movies with my girlfriend. She knows enough about Star Wars to not be surprised by them, but there is. We haven't gotten to the prequels yet, but there's something about the banter between 3PO and Han, or 3PO and R2,
sure,
or Han and Chewie. And what the coolest thing is, which I think some folk, we were talking before the show, of the original trilogy would struggle keeping an audience engaged, I think, nowadays if they were released as is. It's not a Rogue One, the action pack, the spy thriller. It's slow, but that was... 70s and 80s, that was
the pace.
It was. But with Han's banter and 3PO's banter back and forth to the droids or Chewie, you couldn't hear what they were saying. You couldn't understand Wookiee. You couldn't understand the beeps and the boops of R2, but it was still darn good to the sass and the snark going back and forth. Then you look at the prequels. What's that, episode 2, where 3PO has his head knocked off and then put on a battle droid? And what does he say? Oh, this is such a drag. I mean, that's the type of forced humor and comedy I do not appreciate or enjoy. Whereas, you get Leia's, can somebody get this walking carpet out of my way? Or that's what I miss. Well, there's a bit about Monarch. I enjoyed the show on Apple Plus. I know Scott and I might dissect that a little later on, but we'll get into Echo and Rebel Moon, and Micah's the only one who's seen that, but we got plenty to nerd about that we'll just have quips and quibbles throughout.
I can't wait.
Stay tuned. We'll be right back. Welcome back to the Nerd Show here in the Aloe Fiber Studios. We've got guest Emilio, Darth Emilio, helping us navigate the waters without Scott today. We've talked a little bit about Monarch, Legacy of Monsters. Plenty of time to get more into that in shows down the road with our shortened show today. I think Skull Island, best recommendation to get them into the Monsterverse. But Micah's been watching Echo and Rebel Moon. And I have not started either of them, but neither one have had rave reviews on any of the media channels that I frequent to see what's hot or not. Let's start with Echo. That was a highly anticipated one with kind of the backstory of Kingpin from the Daredevil series, and we most recently saw him in Hawkeye.
And he was good in Hawkeye, and he was good in this. I have no problem with the acting in Echo. As a matter of fact, I think it's great.
I can echo those sentiments
all the way around.
He's a fantastic actor, right?
Hang on.
Bad joke alert. Bad joke alert.
Really, Nick, uncalled for. Really, the acting was great all the way around. The problem with Echo is the writing. It could not decide what it wanted to be. Was it an action show? Was it a drama? Was it, you know, an origin story of where Maya Lopez's powers come from?
That's the daughter, right? Who's,
yeah,
is she blind or deaf?
She's
deaf.
Echo. So
does she use echolocation?
I don't know. She has like some hand glowy powers that come from like a bunch of female ancestors who broke out of a cave or something. I don't really remember.
Is that something kind of like, it sounds like Ms. Marvel with the ancestral, what was it?
That bracelet.
Bracelets.
Yeah, the Cincinnati Bengals.
They had the Bengals?
I hate to bring it up every single time, but yeah, it's just that it's a challenge they're having right now just in general with all their shows and films, right?
And it actually upsets me because there are some good actors in this. So Devery Jacobs played Bonnie, and she's in a show that I like on Hulu, Reservation Dogs. She's in Reservation Dogs, and she's fantastic in that show, and she's in here for 5 minutes. She doesn't really do anything. There's a waste of a lot of talent, and it's really unfortunate because, like, I want the show to be good, obviously. I spent hours watching 5 episodes, and it's basically goes from, you know, what happened at the end of Hawkeye to, you know, it hands off what is Kingpin going to do now. That's basically it. It's a bridge between what happened in Hawkeye and what's Kingpin doing now.
It's a struggle I'm having with when I'm watching these films and movies now with Marvel is I'm trying to turn off caring that this is going to go somewhere outside of the series or outside of the film. I'm trying to turn that off and say I should just sit and I should enjoy it, and it's action-packed and it's kind of funny and good special effects, and I kind of enjoy these characters. They have some very good acting talent in a lot of these. And still, in the back of my mind, I'm thinking, okay, are they setting this up? Is this going to be a part of some big Avengers film down the road, and they bring all these characters back together? Is this character going to end up in another series? They came, you know. So, and it's distracting me from enjoying it, I think. But it's also making me committed to watch them because I feel like, man, if I miss this, it's almost like the Star Wars television, you know, Mandalorian and Boba Fett. And I found myself watching some of those just because I didn't want to miss out if I'm missing a key, you know, element or something that happens or a key character that's going to be in a future film or in a future series. So I don't know. I'm struggling with it. I'm struggling getting motivated to watch some of these series.
Two positive things about Echo before we move on to Rebel Moon is I think what they did with the Native American aspect and the deaf aspect, because she's deaf and Native American, I thought was fantastic. They kind of did right by the culture and, you know, right by the sign language, you know, kind of showing they would go back and forth between, you know, what she would hear, which was like nothing, and, you know, what was actually happening auditorily. And I thought that was a great aspect. I enjoyed that. So I thought they did a great job on that. It's just there wasn't a lot positive with this, which was a real bummer, especially with the actors I was looking forward to seeing. Rebel Moon was
Before Rebel Moon, mm-hmm. I like kind of your description of that. You know, they did write by the deaf and hard of hearing community and the culture represented there, because sometimes it's almost appeared a little forced by Marvel and Disney lately. I know it's a hot topic.
Well,
in the world,
this character is this for the sake of being this, and
because you know you kind of had that with Moon Knight. You know, that was a huge. You know, he hadn't been introduced before, and then we get all this you know, Middle East culture, and then with Ms. Marvel, it wasn't, you know, a tease or anything. It was all there. So for what's her name, Maya, you know, we got a little bit of her as just a side character and villain in Hawkeye, but it wasn't. Cool. This is we're going to tell you a whole story about her. I think they did it the right way of, okay, here's a little backstory now on her and what her afflictions are and background and cultural things. So again, I haven't seen this yet, but it seems that's the great way to reintroduce instead of, you know, what some people think is just forcing that down viewers' throats without much context or even, you know, sadly, a lot of care on are they doing their due diligence to learn enough about this to make sure it's represented properly.
And I imagine because I don't know how to pronounce her first name, but the main actress, because she's deaf, she probably had a huge hand in saying this is how things are signed. And, you know, these are the facial gestures you make, because when it comes to sign language, you can't just be like me and do, 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 do. People aren't going to know like what your mood is. If you're asking a question, your face has to look like you're asking the question. Like, for instance, I don't know and I do know, like, is the same sign. It's you lift your finger.
This one?
No, Nick.
Oh.
So your pointer finger, you point to yourself and lift it up. But, like, you shake your head if you don't know, or you nod your head if you do know. So, like, there's a lot of different, you know, ways to handle sign language, which is a very interesting language. Rebel Moon is to move on. Rebel Moon.
That's DC, right?
That's a science fiction.
Oh, okay.
Show that.
That's right. Didn't? Yeah, we
it
talked
was sold,
about this.
It was sold to Disney, and then it was sold back.
Do they have lightsabers?
They do have. One of the characters has some kind of lightsaber in it. That character, basically all the characters are, for the most part, they feel thrown away because they focus one or two scenes on every character except for two or three characters. And then the end happens. Surprisingly, the end of the movie happens. It's a two-parter.
So that's a movie, not a series.
And it should have been a series because you're introducing all these characters and there's no attachment to them. You have one Native American kind of character, and it shows how cool and attached to this animal the Native American guy is.
Is it too many characters? Because all films have that, you know, 2 hour, 1 hour and a half, 3 hour limit, right, where you have to get to know and get to like these characters quickly.
Yeah,
right?
Too many characters.
Killers of the Flower Moon, that's a 3.5 hour Scorsese film.
He keeps making them longer.
Yeah.
Too many characters, too many like little adventures. They needed to meet all of them kind of at once or know who they were or, you know, go to the bar and pick all of them up at the bar and then go on the adventure. And at the end of the movie, which I didn't have a problem with this, the adventure doesn't actually happen. Like, they get stopped before their adventure happens.
Don't spoil it, but
it's a two-parter.
It's a challenge that I had even with Wheel of Time being a series. And I worried about that having read the books, where you have so many characters and so many, you know, storylines that are all going simultaneously. I think if you're just jumping into it and watching the series, I'm sure people were lost or just wondering who to care about.
Yeah, you don't really care about any of them. The acting's not great except for, you know, one, the bad guy who is phenomenal.
But would you recommend
overall,
this?
I would recommend we wait for the Snyder Cut. I don't know when that's coming out. He says that it's going to be a completely different movie. His version is rated R, whereas the version I watched was rated, I think, PG-13. So it's
I'm not
it wasn't
a big
great.
Fan of this, though. Like, these Snyder Cuts are supposed to change entirely your experience. Like, for me, extended editions are like those cuts that enhanced the story but weren't really necessary. It made it a better, like for Lord of the Rings for me, But I don't feel like, okay, well, we'll wait for the Snyder Cut because that should make it a better story. I don't know how I feel about these Snyder Cuts.
Well, hopefully I don't know why they would do the PG-13 version and then the R version. Just put out the R version because the PG-13 version was kind of garbage. It wasn't, like, it was entertaining enough, but meh.
So you needed more people's heads cut off or some more nudity or some cussing?
No,
or what
I
were
just,
you missing?
I needed more plot.
F yeah.
Less characters, more plot.
Careful, Ron. Yeah.
We'll be right back after this break. Stay tuned. Welcome back to the Nerd Show. We were talking in the break about, you know, kind of my rant toward the end of the segment of director's cuts, and Emilio brought up some good points of, I don't know, I'll just let Emilio kind of go from there. I was passionate about Lord of the Rings, you know, but for directors and it completely changing the experience of a film for these director, I use loose, you know, air quotes.
Yeah, it shouldn't happen often. You know, it, and I understand if there's a director out there and he can potentially have the pull or the say to have something re-released that is a completely different version of what was released originally. But that should be few and far between. And that, you know, that was a failing on all sides because whatever is the best work should come out. But yes, back in the day when they started releasing all this extra footage, yeah, it'd be a reason to buy the DVD or...
And most of the footage was garbage anyway.
Or you could see why it was cut, but, you know, if you love a film enough or love a show, it's kind of fun to see a little bit more or, you know, just to even get a peek behind the curtain. For me, I went to film school for my undergrad, so I enjoyed seeing that just to even see what didn't make it.
And it's, you know, one of the, like when Star Wars, the re-releases, there's a scene from Return of the Jedi, and you don't get a lot of deleted scenes from older movies. And one in Jedi was before Luke went to Jabba's palace. He was finishing up the construction of his new lightsaber, and I can see why it got cut. It wasn't very exciting. He was just in a cave putting in the kyber crystal, and there you go. You see the green lightsaber for everyone else. Okay, Luke built a new lightsaber in between episode 5 and 6. Don't really need that, but it's cool to see. And also at what level of editing it made it to. Sometimes it's just a green screen. Sometimes it's, you know, just really crummy footage. Other times it's, holy cow, this! Why didn't this make it to the film? Like in episode 3, the meeting with all the counselors to challenge Palpatine. Why didn't that make it in there? You know,
why didn't the extra long lightsaber scene make it in?
Well, and so going back to when they re-released the films, I thought part of the reason Lucas did that outside of just making more money and putting them back in theaters was also because of some technology issues too, right? So you get to see Han with Jabba the Hutt.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and you know, now he's CGI'd everything. We get a couple extended bar scenes where they changed some of those scenes. But I think that was part of the reason, too, is he had said, look, this is what I originally envisioned, and I couldn't do it back then. Or no, am I missing the mark? I thought that was the reason.
Some got added, and a lot of it was just fluff that you didn't need the original actors. I just watched Empire with Susan this weekend, which is what you should do on a cold day like we had this past weekend in Sub-Zero. I mean, Empire Strikes Back is the movie to watch on those snow days. But, you know, there's a scene after Luke and Vader have their duel, and you can tell it's not the original, you know, sound of Vader's voice. You still have James Earl Jones, but he's walking back, alert my Star Destroyer and have them prepare for my arrival. Okay. I mean, I didn't need the reminder that Vader got back to his Star Destroyer and communicated with Luke through the Force as the Millennium Falcon's trying to escape. It's things like that of, was that really, did that further the story? It didn't add anything special to me, whereas The Lord of the Rings added 40 minutes extended edition to the film. So you're in for a, you know, 4-hour movie at that point instead of just 3 hours and 15 minutes or something.
I'd rather these films just, especially with films, just stay intact, right? That this is what was released. This was the film we gave you. Mm-hmm. That's it. That's
Except
the
in
movie.
Certain situations, like Justice League, it came out and it was the best you can say about it. It was entertaining, and then the Snyder Cut comes out, and you're like, "Oh, okay, I actually like this." So I don't know if this is the situation that's going on. I don't know why we have a PG-13 movie and an R-rated movie that is, quote, a completely different movie, that Zack Snyder says it's a different movie. I don't know why we're doing this. Either I think Zack Snyder, he has so many stands out there that, you know, he has this power now.
Well, and it's a marketing tool, it sounds like, now, because they got away with it with Justice League, right? It was it kind of bombed and got really panned, and then there was a lot of hype around it getting re-released, and still I don't think it's going to go down as a great film in DC history, but still, maybe that's it. Maybe it's just another reason for them to release it to a different audience or get some more traction on it and maybe get some excitement. But then what if you go and have some spinoff or some sequel? Is this going to be the norm for it? Mm. Or are they going to say, well, no, they're going to be rated R going forward? Or
yeah, what film do you make a sequel from, the PG-13 to the R? Yeah. All right, if you guys could have one movie that you wish could have an extended cut or a director's cut. I'd say extended cut. I'm going to call it what it is. I'll start. I would love to see Jurassic Park. Granted, they were limited by technology back then too, but I think with the original Jurassic Park, the best of the six movies, I would love to see more of that, because you just had a great story and great acting from top to bottom.
Wow, I'm trying to think of a film that I felt was just too short. And honestly, I'm usually thinking the opposite. I'm thinking, gosh, they could have trimmed a little bit from mm-hmm. that, or we don't need another spinoff of Mad Max, right? I don't know that we need another sequel, but I don't, you know.
But the actress is good, so we'll let it slide.
Gosh, I could see. So I love The Professional, and I mean, I think it's one of the greatest films of all time, and I could definitely see more of almost any of the characters in it. I think they could make that longer and keep my attention. And I don't know what else you would add to the storyline other than just, you know, building the characters more and maybe, I don't know, killing more people, you know, more of a great villain. But yeah, that's it. Because like I said, you know, typically I revert to the, that could have been an hour and a half.
I've said this about a lot of movies, like they just needed an extra 10 minutes. I wish you'd asked this morning, because I'm having problems thinking. I know Firefly, Serenity, the Firefly movie. That was one that I really loved, and I wished that there was just one more encounter with the assassin. I just wish there was like one more, because he's one of my favorite villains of all time. I wanted just one more appearance of him.
That whole series was just so wronged. There was the thing that they got right was, you know, the casting and the story overall, but they were plagued by, you know, the release time, Fox Studios.
Fox aired them all out of order.
You know, just doing Serenity because fans were so upset that the series got such injustice. I mean, I think overall that it's a bummer of. That series deserved better.
I'll always be bitter that we didn't get more Darth Maul. Mm-hmm. Always.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Yeah, that's dumb.
Should have been more throughout the film, or he could have been, you know, kind of the big bad into the second film, mm-hmm. Episode 2. But, yeah, that's one character I would have liked to have seen a lot more of.
You know, they didn't have a lot of talking scenes with him because Ray Park has a high-pitched voice, and they wanted Maul to be very menicing. That's why he had such few scenes, and even then.
That's it. Why they hired someone else.
You think that's what. Lucas was going through an interesting time during those prequels. Divorce.
Trade negotiations.
Yeah, exactly. Wow, what a Mom, Dad, this is great. What's the Now we're talking about trade settlements here, okay? Trading lane is compromised because of the Nemodians.
Tell me more.
Oh, that's the biggest tragedy, I think, of Episode 1. Not Jar Jar Binks, but this trade dispute that led to Alderaan being destroyed and millions of government contractors being destroyed in the Death Stars.
I was going to say, just going back to thinking about extending things and extended cuts and dragging these things on, all I can think about is the Hobbit series of films that I absolutely hated, because it should have been one film and maybe not even a long film, and it could have been really good, and they turned it into five films.
Yeah.
One thing about Star Wars Episode One, I wish they had had an acting coach on set with that kid. That kid probably wasn't that bad of an actor. There were just a couple of things they needed to tweak, and he just got totally made fun of, and that's not fair to the poor kid.
Yeah, and maybe more Jamaican lizards.
I think so, because that's what I need more of in my life. Emilio, thanks so much for filling in. It's been a great show. Of course, thank you, Micah, and we'll be back, I don't know, sometime again for more Nerd Show. Y'all stay nerdy.